Dr. Huggins, thank you for making time today. What were your messages to the forum?
Thank you, Julia. This has been my second time to the UN in my lifetime. So my messages were clearly that really, you know, Australia speaks about its proud human rights record, yet there's still a long way to go in our country. We've seen the close the gap targets, which are woeful in anyone's language rather than exemplary. And I just wanted to highlight yet again that things are not as they should be for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia.
And did you find there were similarities in what people were saying?
Oh, yes. People from other countries go to the UN, of course, and talk about the human rights records of their countries. And, you know, whilst Australia is not one of those countries where we're taken out and shot in the sense, you know, we're still subject to much structural racism and discrimination in Australia for our people. And of course, I also spoke about, you know, women, gender-based violence, the LGBTIQ people living free from racism and religious intolerance. So, yeah, those were some of the key messages I was able to get across.
And the other participants at the forum from First Nations peoples globally, did you find there were common bridges, common similarities to what you were trying to achieve?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Any Indigenous population that has been colonised around the world, we all face similar issues around land, community, resources, and being dictated to by governments. So there was a lot of common bond and humanity amongst us.
And in this forum, which is an international forum at the UN, do you think they're important?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because, you know, Australia is no longer that little island just down the bottom in the south. You know, we're part of a huge global network. So I think for the Indigenous populations of the world, which there are many, you know, we're able to network and we're able to talk about common issues, but try also to work through some of those issues through our governments.
And what would your key takeout be from the permanent forum this year?
Well, it was around, once again, listening to magnificent stories of survival and resilience and letting people know that, you know, we're still here, we're not going to go away, and, you know, all our countries do owe us a huge debt in terms of the benefits that migrants that have come to this country since have clearly benefited from in terms of the economics, the power and the, you know, the environment structures that we have. And let's not forget, you know, Aboriginal people have been maintaining Australia for over 60,000 years in terms of the beautiful, pristine place that we have.
Speaking about the international forum that you've just mm-hmm. recently been attending and presenting at, the UN Permanent Forum, how is the international put into practice at the national level?
Well, certainly within Australia, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples has clearly not seen the light of day yet. It has. It's there. It's very slow in terms of this the government responding. And now that we have a seat at the UN Human Rights Council, I think it's fitting and proper to start working on the UN DRIP, because Australia prides itself on its human rights records. And, you know, it's still not happening in our own country, unfortunately. So we really do need, well, the government needs to lift their game in relation to this. Australia has been severely criticised for its human rights failures in regards to asylum seekers and refugee policy, and certainly, most certainly, around the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander affairs space. So we would hope that this would be given attention to domestically, rather than saying internationally, we're fair and equitable, and that there's the problems that exist in other countries don't exist here in Australia.
So was that part of your message to the UN Permanent Forum when you spoke?
Yes, it was.
Continue to take this up?
Absolutely, we still continue to try to make governments in our country see the real sense and value of working in a global structure, rather than just hiving ourselves off and burrowing away in our little beautiful island that we live in Australia. I'd like to say also, following her visit to Australia last year, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous People, she detailed a plethora of human rights failings in her end of mission statement. Ms. Tali Korpas described the progress on the Closing the Gap targets as woefully inadequate. And she's also talked about some of the damning reports around CERD that's the Committees on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination and on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. They also released damning reports in 2017 detailing Australia's human rights failures in these areas. And of course, First Peoples were emphasised clearly in both of them.
And when we were talking about international instruments and their importance, do you think that system of the UN through the Office of the Human Rights, High Commissioner for Human Rights, is a good one when you get reports that you can use?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're very useful to how we see them in the domestic sphere, but also to know what's out there globally as well.
And for International Day for Indigenous Peoples, and as a First Nations leader in Australia and a woman, what would you call for other First Nations women, particularly young women?
Yes, we've just had a magnificent NAIDOC here because of her we can, and it was a wonderful celebration of the outstanding achievements that women have had across this country, but also about raising the voice of the voiceless and those women who sometimes cannot have the voice that I have in terms of speaking out. So, there's been some really great role modelling, but also younger women who are coming to the fore. They're going to carry on in the next generation, and certainly we're making sure that the place is left in better hands than when we came along as the leaders in our country.
And for all those young women from First Nations communities around the world, what would your key message to them be?
To never give up, to keep being strong, to listen to your older people, especially older, senior Aboriginal women, and to make sure that future generations can have a better life than you have. And I think usually that's what's achievable.
And what's worked in your life in terms of that type of work and advocacy?
Well, certainly, I would probably say around three things. That would be around my family and friends and the networking through that. The second one has been my education. And of course, the last one has to keep humour about it, because these things can be so deadly serious that it takes a lot of strength to get through. And humour is about liberation and liberation of those feelings. So I try to maintain the balance on all three of those.